Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And I'm your host, Craig Faye.
And this week we are talking about Night at the Museum.
Yeah, a little fun family
flick. Yeah, it's a fun family flick. How do you feel about this movie?
It's okay. Yes. It's like... What is it, like, from 2007 or something like that? Like,
yeah.
It's a while back. Some of the stuff feels weird, but I can't put my finger on what the problem with it actually is. You know, like, there's... Like, I have some thoughts, but I'm just like... And then, like, a lot of it is... And to the movie's credit, it's a kid's movie. It's meant to entertain kids. And a lot of just, like, the madcap running around, mm-hmm. I was just like... I was literally tuning out as we watched it because I was like, it doesn't matter what the monkey does.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, you know? I feel you. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, like, it's fine. It's, yeah.
Yeah, it's a perfectly fine movie. That's exactly how I would describe it. There's a lot of fun performances in it. There's exactly. Some fun scenes. Like, there's some, it's a good kids movie. I would definitely say that. Guys, if you haven't seen this movie before, we've got Ben Stiller Larry. We've got Larry. He's kind of a fuck up. He's kind of a bad dad, okay? Let's be honest. He's a bad dad. He jumps from job to job to job. He finds out his son doesn't invite him to career day and is kind of crushed, even though he doesn't have a career. So we'll get to that. He ends up getting a job at a museum. He's going to be a security guard at a night museum to kind of impress his son, but also be able to still see his son because he's going to get evicted. And his ex-wife is like, yo, this is unstable for a kid. Don't do this, please. A very reasonable request. She is, of course, hooked up with Paul Rudd, who is a 10-star stepdad.
Yep.
Love him so much. He's great. Anyway, Ben gets this, Ben, you know, my old buddy, Ben.
Yeah, Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller. Anyway, Larry gets a job at the museum from these three old men that tell him that they're going to replace all three of them with this one man, which is such a weird setup. And they give him instructions and they're like, good luck. And the first thing he does is pretty much take a nap. He kind of just... fucks off immediately and everything starts coming to life and he starts freaking out because he didn't read any of the instructions. It all goes awry. Shit goes crazy. The monkey steals his keys. Stuff goes nuts. He wants to quit. He's like, I can't do this job. And they were like, well, we gave you the instructions. Read the instructions. You're fine. The instructions get destroyed. He decides not to sleep that day. He's going to stay up and research history to understand how to handle these people. He thinks he's too smart for these guys, immediately realizes, no, the instructions were there for a reason.
Yep.
Okay. Your knowledge of history you're not going to be the winner of this game. We realize that these old guys are not so good. They're not so good. They're going to come and steal the tablet that is causing these wax figures and, you know, models and things to come to life. They're going to steal it because it makes them feel young and gives them pep in their step. They're also getting fired. Fuck it.
Yeah.
What, you never take a pen on your way out? Jesus Christ. Anyway, so they're going to go steal this tablet. They, of course, get foiled by all of the wax figures and figure it coming together and Larry rising to the occasion, able to get the tablet back so everyone is able to come back to life every single night. It's also important to note if any of them are outside, they turn to dust.
Yes.
I think I kind of...
And the kid gets invited to the museum.
The kid gets invited to the museum. That's fun.
And doesn't really matter.
And it doesn't matter. Anyway, I think that's pretty much, like, that's the movie.
It's very straightforward, yeah.
There's other things in there, but that's pretty much the movie.
The museum comes to life. And then
that's it.
Mm-hmm. Then guys try and steal it. Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Who do you think the villain is?
I actually think we have a couple of villains.
We do.
And one I actually didn't even mention in the description. The ones I did mention, we've got our three older security guards, kind of led by Cecil.
Dick Van Dyke, Mickey Rooney, and Bill Cobbs.
Hilarious. Yes, hilarious, right. By the way. Great choices all around, team. Yes. That was very good. I love them as like a crew of villains. That's so fucking funny. I love
Mickey
it.
Mickey Rooney yelling at people that he's going to box. Like,
that
he's
was killing me. He's like, he kept calling me... Get over here, hopscotch. Would he call? I was like, I want to start calling people hopscotch. Yeah. That's so fucking butterscotch. All of them. All the scotches. So fucking funny. I love it. Anyway, so they're definitely villains, obviously. But I would also argue that the director of the museum is very much a villain as well.
Yes, and one that I am very here defensible. To defend to the T.
I'm actually really going to defend these old guys, too.
Yeah. I'll start off with this Dr. McPhee, the Ricky Gervais character, because, one thing you need to know about this museum, it's the Natural History Museum in Manhattan. Yeah. It's the American National History Museum. He doesn't know. Well, first of all, let me just say, the first time we meet him, mm-hmm. it's he's played by Ricky Gervais, so it obviously comes across as kind of an asshole.
Yeah, I mean,
and pompous and all the rest. But he's walking out, and you know that he's the villain, a villain or a bad mm-hmm. guy, because he's yelling at children not to touch the exhibits in the museum.
And which is literally his job.
That's number one. Yes, everyone knows that about museums. He's a museum curator. No, he doesn't want people touching the exhibits.
Yes, and who's in charge of these children?
Right?
Who's corralling these children? Somebody needs to be handling these kids, man. You can't... I, at no point, would look at a man yelling at kids, climbing on a dinosaur and be like, well, that guy's clearly wrong. Where's the fun in your heart, sir? We're in a museum.
Yeah. Okay.
the playground.
The famously fun and interactive experience that is a museum. Totally on board there.
Yep.
And then he does not know that things come to life.
Of course he doesn't.
At this thing. So the first night out, everything goes wrong, but then the wax figure of Teddy Roosevelt, played by Robin Williams, RIP, helps him out, gets everyone back into their places before the sun rises. But one of the cavemen gets outside. That's the first night, I think, right? Or the second night. Anyway, one of the cavemen get outside.
That's the second night, he thinks he has everything figured out.
Right. So, sorry, the first night is the cowboy and the Roman guy, Jedediah, and it doesn't matter. they are fighting each other. They're little miniatures, mm-hmm. and they end up in stockades. So Ricky, the doctor comes up and he's like, did you do this? Were you fucking with the little dioramas? So he thinks anything that changes in the museum is a direct result of the only man who's in the museum at night.
You were playing with dolls. With
yes, you were playing around. The second night, when he thinks he's got it all together, there's a fire in the caveman thing. So he sprays that down with foam. So it's covered in foam. Mm-hmm. And there's a caveman missing. Because they got out and got burnt up by the sunlight.
Yep.
Okay. Fire that man.
Yeah.
If you don't know that stuff's coming, because I want to make a point here between there's different ways you can fuck up at your job. Mm-hmm. Okay. You were supposed to sweep the floor last night and it didn't get done. That's one type of fuck up. That's a fuck up of not doing something that you were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And then there's the fuck up of doing things that you're not supposed
active,
to do.
Yes. Active destruction. Versus passive.
Yes. It's an active fuck up. That's an excellent way to put it. And removing an entire mannequin from a museum display and having it go missing, spraying down displays with firefighting foam is an active fuck up. All you had to do was nothing and you failed at that.
Absolutely.
He's a terrible security guard.
He is a I'm going to make the argument that they're all terrible security guards, but yes. He is a terrible security guard for sure.
Yeah. Especially given what he knows.
I'm going to even say, even if he didn't know, you know what I mean? Like, even if Larry knew what he was coming into, he was still bad at his job.
Because like, you think even if he knew, he'd still be bad at it.
Because here's the thing, is that, okay, so they make this argument, and we talk about this a lot on the podcast, of like, the person has to be given all the information, okay?
Right.
If they're doing something, they have to be given all the information that's super important. This is literally what these guys do. They give him a manual of all the information.
Yeah, that's
true. They give him front to back everything this guy needs to do. Now, probably confusing if you don't know what's about to happen, but Cecil makes a actually really great point in this movie. He goes, "You wouldn't have believed us if we told you. There's no way that you would believe us."
Yes.
So we gave you the manual, okay? And what does this guy do first night on the job? You can clearly see why he's never held down a job, okay? He doesn't even glance at this motherfucker. You read that first line, you gotta be intrigued, okay?
Yeah.
You know, throw the bone? Oh, no, okay. Like, what does this mean? Now I'm reading the whole thing, okay? I would have read that so fucking fast, okay? First night on the job, you have nothing to do. My first thought isn't, I should take a nap.
No, first night out?
First night out, like my first day, I'm always super like, okay, we gotta be polished, baby. Like, even if I didn't think I was being watched, I'd probably be walking around the museum,
yeah,
making sure like there's no noises, like I'm patrolling, whatever. I am, at the absolute minimum, reading all of those instructions.
Yes.
I gotta say this. Now, mind you, okay, I know this sounds fucking weird, but when I was in grade school, they did one of these, they did like a quick test or whatever. And they were like, okay, the first line of the instruction, because it's like just a list of instructions of all the stuff you have to do, right? And they were like, we're going to time you, see how fast you can get everything done, right?
Oh, yes.
You remember this test. We've all done this test, right?
Yeah, which is similar.
Yes. You know exactly where I'm leading, which is the first instruction is read all the instructions. And the last instruction is, sign your name, you're done. So there were some people that were done in literally like minutes, like a minute they were done. And
right,
you're sitting there and you're freaking out. You're like, I'm only on stage like six, right? Because you're trying to be speedy. You're like, well, I'm eventually going to read all the instructions. That first instruction ignore.
No.
The lesson here is follow the instructions.
Read the instructions.
Yes. This one says the first instruction is read all the instructions. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Now, ever since that day, okay, because I used to be like, I was a little fucking smart, you know, asshole, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I was like, I get straight A's, all this shit, right? So that, not winning that, not understanding that rocked me to my core. I was like, oh, I got thwarted by a piece of paper, dude. So to this day, I'm like, a piece of paper's never going to fuck with me again, dude.
I read
all of it every time.
Yeah. So I will give you that they gave him instructions.
They
gave him instructions, which is important. But I would also say that for, I think, only the second time in this podcast history, I'm going to say onboarding was a villain of this. Shazam was not onboarded correctly. And this guy was not onboarded correctly. Because give me the instructions all you want.
Yeah.
Hand me the manual.
Mm.
I'm sorry. Every place I've ever worked has had a manual. I have not read it. Because they're fucking bullshit most of the time. These are super helpful. Don't get me wrong. But in what world do you just hire a new night watchman for the museum and nobody even goes over the regular night watchman stuff? This is where you clock in. This is the security code. This is
I think we just skip that scene. It was boring.
No, but like, I think you need to do a night with the old guard. You know what I mean?
No, but they can't.
They show you around and
No. They can't do that. They need him ill-prepared. They're coming
and
to
that's,
thief.
That's okay. True. That's where they get the...
They're coming to thief. Okay.
Yes. They want him to fail, therefore they set him up for failure. But I'm just saying, like even the director of the museum, I don't know why you wouldn't have like overlap of a week. There's been no job where I haven't had to been shown like, where do you keep the broom? Like, what do you do at this time of night? Like, where, you know?
I suppose, but I'm still team elderly. Because these men are being fired for being old.
Yes.
And we know that. That's just facts, okay? These men are getting out of here because they're too old. Now, arguably, I would say they're probably not that great at their job. There are three men hanging out in an office. Like, they're probably really not doing a lot. But I would also say you probably don't need them to do a lot. I kind of feel like the security guard at a museum is just a policeman dialer. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how much they're doing. Well, maybe they're doing a lot. I have no idea.
I mean, like, there's lots of valuable stuff in a museum for sure.
No, I understand that, but you're kind of just like, you're the watchman, you're a watchdog.
True.
Yeah,
true.
You're not taking this guy out. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if these guys are, like, trained to take people out and shit.
I don't know.
I doubt it.
I think they patrol the halls at night.
Yeah.
It's also ridiculous to think that this museum does not have security cameras in it anywhere.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, there's a few things that really throw a wrench in the works of the mechanics of all this. But, yeah, I'm also going to say that, like, if... The metaphor here is that, like, the tablet of Akhmen-Ra, so they're like, they brought it in from Egypt, and, like, it basically, that's the thing that's bringing everybody to life. But they're like, that makes us feel youthful and energetic and, like, makes us healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think is very strongly suggested to be extending their lives.
Yes.
That's kind of like... you lose your job and you lose your medical coverage and you die.
You're like,
that's fucking evil as shit.
It is.
That's, yeah, steal that.
Yeah. We also, not that I'm promoting stealing from museums, but I'm also like, everything in a museum was stolen. So, I'm like, that's it? Like, not really. And to make the argument that these are three human beings versus a
wax figure of
inanimate objects that become animated. Like, they even say, they're like, I'm not actually really this person.
Yeah.
Which is also, did you get really confused by that?
Yeah. I mean,
because I kept sitting there going, but then how, like, would you have, like, a child's knowledge of yourself then? Because that's probably the only stuff you're hearing about yourself.
Yeah,
like, three sentences on you. Because it's, like, I find it so confusing that they're like, okay, we're not these things or these people really, but they somehow magically have all of the...
properties.
The properties and, like, back knowledge. They're like, oh, you're going to interview this woman for your paper. But it's like, how would she know more than what written down?
Right.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's kids' movies.
It's hand-waved away. Yeah.
I just have to keep going. Don't think about it.
Well, and I would say if there is anywhere that has information about you... as a wax figure, it's probably a museum. Like, I think
there's more than just a paragraph. I don't know. I feel like it's a paragraph, though. There's a little plate in front of you, and you go, all right, well,
yeah, okay.
I'm just going to infer some things here. I'm going to extend my...
Yeah, you're right. That is strange, because, like, they're all motivated by what they would be motivated by if they were the real people, right? Like, it's...
Yeah, and they have specific knowledge. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Where does this knowledge come from?
Yeah, it's like, where does this stuff end? I don't
know. We're getting all like, what is the nature of knowledge? Can anybody actually know anything?
Oh my god. Oh. No, this is a kid's
epistemology,
movie.
Epistemology, I think is what that's called.
Turn that part of your brain off.
Yeah.
Turn that
doesn't
part
matter.
Of your brain off. It doesn't
it's
matter.
It's Robin Williams's Teddy Roosevelt. Yeah. It's fun to see. Yeah, I mean, that does bring up... Okay, so that does bring up a couple things about this that just... It feels a little weird and slightly... insensitive.
Oh yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of parts of this movie where I'm like, I feel like I shouldn't be okay with this. Like,
yeah. And we're like, what? I don't know. Like, one is like, there is a very recurring joke in this movie where the joke is just that, like, foreign languages sound funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's like, he's meeting Attila the Hun and the cavemen, whatever. Like, you know, you oogu booga at a caveman. Yeah. I don't care. But like, they're just like yelling gibberish at a guy speaking presumably Mongolian.
Yeah.
That seemed weird to me.
That seemed really weird. I'm also going to make the point that the only point I had on those men was I, too, believe that bad magicians should be ripped limb from limb. I, too, believe that. I solidarity on that. Bad magicians should be pulled out a little bit. Yeah, you know
you're
what
trying
I mean?
To, you're trying to fucking pull one over on me? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not saying full death. I'm just saying, like, a little stretch. Just to remind them to try a little harder.
Yeah. The other thing I did find really quite disturbing, and it's, like, off-putting, I would say.
Yeah.
Is the fact that Teddy Roosevelt is, like, kind of attracted to Sacagawea from afar. And, like, it just, like, there's like, a cultural thing in there that's very insensitive. You know what I mean? Like,
no, we got some real, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like, very colonialism. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no, there were parts of that where I was like, oh, man, love you, Robin. I don't know about this.
I don't know about this, yeah. But then, like, then at the same time, you're like, but they're not those characters.
It's like very weird. There's a lot of layers happening.
Yeah. So it's
like, just like wax figures that like each other.
Yeah,
I guess.
And I'm fine with wax figures who like each other, yeah. But it's also just like, hey, let's, yeah. Sacagawea is a weird inclusion in this movie. And I'm not sure she's done with a lot of sympathy or
that was a weird vibe for sure.
There was
a vibe there. I don't know if I cared for it.
Cultural sensitivity.
I totally agree with you. Absolutely.
Romans and cowboys can fight all they want. I love that shit.
Yes. You know what I mean? When they started to combine a lot of things where it's like, okay, like these aren't like, I don't know, these are historical things that wouldn't match up in that sense.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
You're in the land of miniatures or whatever. Great.
Yeah. Like the fucking Easter Island, you know, just like
she
chomping
to chew
on
bubblegum.
Yeah, stuff like that. Where you're like, okay, that's cute, and like, who's mad about that? Nobody's mad about that.
But you're also like, that shouldn't be there. yeah, like all those animals, I'm fine with because I'm Teddy Roosevelt for sure. Shot all those animals. That's not even a joke. He actually did.
I'm absolutely. I'm also like super team Dexter for sure. You're in a prison. Steal the keys.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely steal the keys. Fuck with that guy.
What living hell is that monkey living in?
Oh,
where he
God,
goes, I was shot and killed by a president of the United States, stuffed, put in a museum, and then all of a sudden I wake up in, I think they said the 1950s when the tablet arrived, and he goes, suddenly I'm alive again, which has got to be like strange. You're in a strange place that isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of like a reanimated dead monkey that exists for 50 years at a time.
Yeah. At what point do you not fuck with people?
That's all.
I'd be doing.
You'd have to.
When they're like, I swear to God, if this has been happening for that long, how do you not qualify that as like a living hell?
Yes.
Hey, you know what I mean? You wake up, especially like when you look at like our, some of these people, like they can't get out of their glass. They're stuck in this room, this hell, whatever. I wake up every night. I'm in the exact same position. I listen to these two men have the same conversation. I can't talk to anybody new. Some of you are allowed to run around. Some of you aren't for some reason.
Yeah, the dinosaur gets to run around.
Yeah.
But like, I got to stay in a glass case forever. Yep. Yeah.
All this kind of stuff. So fucking weird. You wake up every night living, in my opinion, living hell. I would be doing, quite frankly, is trying to kill whatever's keeping me here.
Yeah, get rid of that tablet.
Yeah, if you want me, my real opinion, all I would be doing, like when Larry's getting chased down, I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I'd be chasing down this guy so fucking fast. Okay,
yeah.
We're getting shit done. We got to change up this rotation, which brings me to my point of why I actually don't think these three men are that bad.
Okay.
These three old men, all they're doing is saving these things from having to come to life every night.
It is pretty.
They're stopping the cycle.
Yeah.
They don't want it for money.
They're not supposed to be alive.
They're not supposed to be alive. Okay. Like they don't want the tablet to sell it. Okay. They don't want to put it on the black market or whatever. They're like, now the reason they give is kind of like we like the nightlife or whatever. Like they don't want to give up their old and like true.
Who cares?
Yeah,
who
I don't care. Yeah.
I don't care that you like
true.
The nightlife.
All you're doing is stopping these things from coming to life every night. And honestly, if I was one of those things, much appreciated.
Yeah, and
much appreciated.
You know who actually has it the fucking worst? Achman Ra. the mummy.
Oh, yeah.
Who is, up until the climax of the movie, stuck in his sarcophagus.
Yes.
Like, pounding on it every night, and everyone goes like, ah, don't go in there. And then they find out that he knows how to work the tablet. Like, yeah. Like he's... By the way, the fact that it's Rami Malek, like,
I was screaming.
I was just like, "Oh man, you blew up since then."
Yeah, yeah, you've had a real blow up. You've had a real moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, this is you're better than this.
Would have been introduced so much earlier in this film.
Exactly,
had they have known. Yeah, I forgot he was in this movie. So crazy.
Yeah. It just shows up. You're like, what? You're a third act character introduction, Rami Malek?
Yeah. So these three guys are like, okay, we're getting canned because we're old. We actually have to hire our replacement, which is cruel and unusual punishment.
Kick in the teeth. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's cruel and unusual punishment.
Can you train the person who's going to replace you because they don't know what's up?
Oh, no, not a chance. Not a fucking chance, dude. So then they're like, okay, we're going to take something on the way out. I mean, they were collecting some other shit too, I think, to sell. But
well, no, because they use it to frame Ben Stiller, which is actually a brilliant plot.
It is a brilliant plot. I forgot they were planning to set him up. That is kind of bad.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of bad, but also, he's a fuck-up. You know what I mean?
I am pro them stealing this.
Yes.
I am pro them stealing this tablet.
Extend
your life. So things don't come up to life anymore. You can stop this cycle. Extend your life. Have a happy whatever. I get it. Yeah. Listening to Mickey or just be like,
no, I'll get you.
Yeah. I'm going to fucking lay it down hopscotch and then realize later in the movie that he actually can is so fucking
funny. Yeah.
That's a great reveal. I love that.
When Dick Van Dyke does a roundhouse kick.
I'm fucking screaming, dude. Yeah, I love that.
You're great. I do want to just quickly, what do you think the rules of this tablet are? So it's sort of like the things in the museum come to life, but the Easter Island statue is stone, right?
Yeah.
But it's obviously been imbued with some sort of meaning, as opposed to, say, the marble floor, which is also stone, but doesn't come to life.
I think it's if you have a face.
Okay.
If you have a face, because, yes, it's stone, but it's a face.
It's a face. So the Tyrannosaurus Rex comes to life because it's got a face.
Face.
Okay. The little miniatures come to life because they got a face. Your face thing works.
I think it's a face thing. Yeah. Yeah. I think if it has a face.
So what you're saying is there is some smiley face graffiti in the bathroom that is coming to life.
Just talking the whole time.
Yeah, like, hey guys, for a good time, call Sally.
Yeah, that's great.
But, okay, by that extension, then, if you take this out of the museum and, you have it in your house, let's say.
Okay, yeah.
Does, do your paintings come alive at night? Like, your Barbie doll is going to come to life and think that it's Barbie?
So
it's like Toy Story-ing this thing, you know what I mean?
That's right. We might not be thinking about the implications of what happens after you take this outside. If you take it outside, is now the outside the room?
Yeah, how is it contained?
What contains it? What
limits it to the extent of the
It might
museum.
Actually be a proximity thing. It has to be close to Achman Ra, maybe? It doesn't work as well when it's outside and they just don't know that.
Yeah, it's actually they don't not understand you leave the building. It's a sphere kind of thing. Like
a dome?
Yeah, yeah. It's if you get too far away, then you can't reset. I don't know. Well, presumably it was designed to work in his tomb.
Right. So maybe it's a four wall, or you know what I mean? It's got to have all the walls and a roof and a floor or something.
It just knows.
It just knows.
It knows. Stop thinking about it so much, the museum comes to life.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and going back to just how absolutely shitty Larry is at his job.
Oh, Larry's garbage.
So that second night, a lot of shit goes wrong. He gets fired, rightfully so. Goes back, chases him down and goes just give me one shot. I think I figured it out. That's the point where I was just there's nothing to figure out from Dr. McPhee's perspective. Like, I think, what did you figure out? How not to touch things at night?
Yeah, it's like we were talking about earlier, that like active. Yeah.
It's like, I think I'm figuring out how, it's like I ran out of time and didn't have time to mop. You go, you're fired. Okay, no, listen. I think I figured it out. I figured out how to assign my, like, do my time so I can mop at night, please. You go, okay. You don't figure out how to not fuck with shit. So, like, the idea that he gets his job back is insane to begin with. But then that night, he's like, I know what to do. My job depends on it. He's given the specific instruction of, if there's one thing out of place, you're done. And he immediately goes and goes, hey, kid, my kid, come to my work tonight and hang out in a museum all night. By the way, this is a fucking minor. This is a kid who's got school in the morning.
I'm so glad you brought this
you
up.
You are keeping him up all night. Granted, a museum, fine. Like, you know, it's not a monster truck rally. There's some educational value there. But just like he, and the we haven't even mentioned the love interest.
Oh, yeah. Rebecca?
Who is like, nobody.
Oh, it does, has no consequence on the story. It's just like, well, we need to know that this guy has sex coming at some point. Like,
yeah, that's what I've always wanted to know.
She seemed so, like, that's such an afterthought.
Yes.
Like, she has no, like, there's no, she's not a dynamic character. She's not really interesting. You just kind of know, like, she goes to school, she studies, she's writing a paper. That's pretty much it.
That's it. And she wears low-cut shirts.
Yeah.
And there. Then
doesn't do anything.
Things around and is fine with
like if
Larry
she was like helping
up.
Him out. You know what I mean? If there was like a lot more
with like research or something.
Yeah.
Or like help, yeah. No,
she had a skill set that was never used. It was very strange.
Yes.
She's very strange. She dropped in.
Anyway, so but he invites her too. He invites her too.
Yes.
And
well,
she thinks
which
she's
is
crazy.
Fine because it's like, okay, she works there. Okay. Like if she just was like, oh, I just wanted to stay overnight, like that's actually not, I feel like less
fair,
of a problem.
Fair enough.
I cannot believe, and I'm so glad you brought this up because I completely forgot to mention it, but like I cannot believe this man on the one night he's not supposed to fuck up. He's like, give it a week, man. This kid will be ready to go next week too. Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Get a couple of days under your belt before you start inviting guests. And like, to your credit, you're right. Like, I mean, there's him staying overnight. Like, that would be fun. I don't really care that this kid's going to stay up all night. Like, that's a memory you'll keep forever. Okay.
And it's amusing.
Some of these things need to be exceptions, but not on the only night you need to fuck up. And you know, you're not allowed to do this because you tell him to hide in the office for everyone to leave and then bring him out. What the fuck are you teaching this kid? This is crazy across the board. This is not good. I'm sorry. He's such a bad dad. He is such a bad fucking dad. Okay. And we're going to get to do you mind if I jump to,
yeah, go for it.
Stepdad versus dad, because my God, is this stepdad kicking his fucking ass? Don, that's his name. Paul Rudd, who endlessly, effortlessly charming Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
They even try and make him a bit of a geek here, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
You got
just
that
look at
huge
like,
Bluetooth
yeah,
thing. That's
I don't
you're
care.
Like, you're kind of rocking it,
yeah,
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd, you're fucking crushing it across the board at all times, right? I think we can agree with that.
Yes.
Fuck yeah. Paul Rudd's incredible. He wears too many things on his belt. Ooh. Okay.
He's got a job, bud.
Yes. Okay. So he's got a full-time, job. He was the one that, he was the one that was invited to career day. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that crushes Larry. Larry's like, why wasn't I invited? Well, Larry, you gotta have a job. That's they're like, yeah. What are you going to just talk about unemployment to these kids? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're upset you weren't invited to career day. That's a you thing. That's on you. That's not about your kid. That's on you, sir. Okay. Absolutely. If I had a child, okay. If I had a child and I was unemployed and I was, and this kid was like, this kid had the knowledge to go, I'm not going to invite my parent because she doesn't have a job. I'd be like, that's the best. Thank you so much for understanding my situation. Okay. What a relief to not have to go through muscle through that embarrassment.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, like, incredible work, kid. Okay, and then later he kind of is like, this kid's like, oh, I want to be like a bonds trader, which is, I do agree with Larry, crazy for a kid to
absolutely
say.
Absolutely.
Okay. He's like, you
absolutely
should.
Absolutely needs intervention at that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, yeah, he's like, you should hold on to this, like, hockey dream longer, all this kind of stuff. Fair enough. Okay.
Bond trader is such a depressing thing for a kid to want to be.
Oh my God.
If you are a bond trader, fine. Yes. But it's just like,
that's not a kid's dream. Okay. It's not fair. Okay? It's like all the basic ones that they make dolls. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like firefighter, astronaut. You know what I mean? Like there's things that make sense here. Hockey player is definitely one of them.
Sure.
For sure. Like these big aspirational jobs of like, oh my God, I'll reach for the stars when you're a kid. And then, you know, life kicks the shit out of you.
And you find it. Yeah,
you find a happy medium, hopefully. Bond trader, chilling to come out of a child's mouth. But to say that this kid actually likes this guy so much that he's like, oh, I would love to do this job too. This guy's sick. Okay.
Yep.
That is a 5-star review for his stepdad.
100%. Yeah.
Okay. Then what does this guy do? He, first of all, so pleasant with Larry. Okay. Don is so pleasant with Larry. Like the entire time, just like, yeah, buddy. Like we, you know, we're all sharing custody. We're doing things. Like he literally brings him by his work.
Yeah,
like, aren't you so proud of your dad?
This guy, your son wanted to see you. I'm walking him to school and he wanted to see you.
Just wanted to pop by. Isn't that the best?
Yeah.
That's fucking, you're a sick dad. You're awesome. Okay. That guy was, yeah, across the board, just an incredible father figure. And this guy's like, and Larry's all like, oh, I've got to fight for my son's affection. My son has to like me more. And it's like, well, stop being such a putz, Larry.
And stop being craving it so much.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
You know what I mean?
You want it too bad.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're fucking up bad when you want it that bad. You know? Like, you're like, why doesn't my son respect me?
Because he's 6.
Yeah.
Because he's 6 years old and he's going to feel different tomorrow.
Yeah, okay? Exactly. Just get over it.
And to get to the end, I just want to jump to the end really quick because there's one other moment where I'm like, oh, Larry, you're such a bad dad. You should not let your son ride a T-Rex.
No. No.
No, there's no part of that where I'm like, okay, if you let this kid like hang out and everybody's chill now and it's like fine or whatever, maybe. But you're not riding the T-Rex, buddy. I'm sorry.
And it's
that drops too far.
Yes. Yeah, you can hurt yourself you can die falling off a horse. Imagine falling off the top of just a bony T-Rex, by the way, no muscles.
No, anything
to like really
your
hold
ass
on to.
Is ripped, son. Oh, getting off of a bony T-Rex? Oh, man. No. I'm riding that thing for 5 minutes and then that was fun.
I'm not going to say I wouldn't ride the T-Rex in this situation.
Yes, 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 yes.
But like, you know,
it's a one and done situation.
Yeah.
And I'm not letting my fucking child, and then when he's like, well, it's going to be time to go to bed soon. No, it's not. And it's like, ha ha ha, now we're best friends. Why? Because you let your son do irresponsible shit?
Yeah.
He's like, honestly, this is like really to me, it's like that metaphor, like that, do you remember like the cool dad or the cool mom growing up?
Sure.
Where you're like, oh, that mom's so cool or that dad's so cool.
They let me do whatever I want.
Yeah, and then you become an adult and you're like, oh my God, there were problems at home. Like, oh shit, son, you should have let me do any of that stuff. And like, that was actually like a problem. There's a reason why parents go, no, don't do that.
Yeah. Oh, I can stay up till 2 a.m. and drink as much soda as I want and my mom doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, cool. You're like, oh,
it's like
no.
That like parent that like, and I always think of Mean Girls, but I knew so many parents that were exactly like that of like, oh, I'd rather you drink in the house. And it's like,
yeah,
like
I mean,
I get that, but I get that better if it's like, I'm your daughter and I also have permission from your parents. We're all fine. This is a very supervised situation.
Oh, see, I kind of agree with that.
Because
I think what that is that's an acknowledgement that you are going to go drink.
Mm.
And I rather that you do it in the house where you can be supervised rather than out somewhere dangerous or having to go places.
I'm gonna...
So if you're going to do it, mm-hmm. do it here, I think, is a very healthy way to do
it. Well, I'm going to add an asterisk to this because I need to let you know that any parent that has ever told me that left immediately.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They're not the people that are like, and I'm going to sit here and watch this happen.
Yeah.
No. They're like, I'd rather you do it in the house. Anyway, I'm going to go meet my buddy Ben down the road.
For a drink.
Yeah. If anything catches fire, you have my cell phone number and it's out. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Like, it is just pure destruction from that moment. Because the parent that's going to let you drink also wants you to be unsupervised.
I guess I'm thinking more like everyone gets home safe, no one's drinking and driving.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
there's a bunch of risky behavior that's associated with.
We're having a beer all collectively by the pool or something. That's a different vibe for sure, but that's never the vibe.
No, not when you're in high school. Yeah.
No. We're all going to get shit canned because none of us know our limits and none of us think we can die. Yeah. So.
We're all going to down a 6-pack of Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Oh, or sourpuss. Screaming. I don't know how we got off on this tangent. I'm so sorry. I didn't think the word sourpuss was going to come out of my mouth today. But here we are.
Children's movies. Sourpuss.
Children's movies. Anyway, to say he's a bad fucking
dad.
And the fact that he thinks like all of his inventions are shit. And the fact that he's like, well, I'm meant for more. And it's like, no, like the fact that these have been described as schemes is actually pretty accurate.
Yeah. Oh my God. If a kid ever told you, what if you're not fantastic? Like, what if you're not wonderful? What if you're not special? What if you're just a normal guy? Like, if your son told you that, like, you'd be like, all right. Like, I'd give up on all my dreams right away if a kid told me that. A kid? Your kid tells you that.
Yeah.
You're not sensational. You're just an average guy. I'd be like, oh, from the mouth of babes. Like, if you said that to me, I'd be like, Rebecca. You fucking joshing with me, buddy? Yeah. A kid says that, like, my niece or nephew were like, Craig, you're not anything special. What if you just had to get a job? Yeah. What if you just have to have a job? And you go, oh, boy.
No. Yeah. No, you take that to heart.
You take that to heart.
Because kids are honest. Yeah. Kids, like, you know what I mean? When they're given, like, I don't mean kids don't lie. Okay.
Yeah.
But kids don't lie when they're saying shit like that.
No.
That's straight from the barrel, buddy.
You haven't learned deep, deep cruelty yet. So there's no way that you're saying that to piss somebody off.
No,
you
no,
just
that's
know
uncut.
Honesty. Yeah. That is uncut honesty. I know that it's a children's movie and I know there's lots, but I do need to point out one absolutely massive plot hole in this.
I'm so excited.
And
this
involves me going online and doing research.
Oh, good. Okay.
All about sunsets.
Ooh, okay.
So the rules of this is that you have to be back inside the museum at sunset, or sorry, by sunrise, because, you know, that's when you turn back. The magic is broken or whatever.
Okay.
Fine.
Yep.
Presumably it happens at sundown. So sundown to sunup, right? These things come alive, they go up. Here's the problem. New York City experiences winter.
Okay.
And as Canadians, we know that the length of a day does not stay the same.
No, it does not.
Do you know what time the American Museum of Natural History in New York City closes, Rebecca?
What's that?
5:30 p.m.
Okay.
Do you know what time the sun sets in New York City?
Bet I have a guess.
Like November to like January, the sun is setting at 4:30 p.m.
That's so funny.
Which means that there is a full hour of overlap where everything is coming alive when these doors are still open.
I fucking love that you looked that shit up, dude. That's so funny.
Yeah.
I'm sure, yeah, you're right. I'm sure there are. Can you imagine? How chilling it would be if your kid turned to you and was like, listen, I found a bit of a plot hole. Do you know that? Like, if they just had that knowledge off the dome, that'd be so fucking crazy.
The sun sets at 4:30 p.m. in New York City during the winter solstice.
I really didn't think you were going to say that. That's great. Yeah.
I don't know. I was why was I thinking about time zones and daylight savings? I don't know.
I love, okay. And to speak on that of just like, when the sun comes up, they just like disintegrate into dust or whatever. All I kept thinking because that scene's supposed to be like so sad, like this,
right.
That's so sad that that wax caveman is no more. And all I kept thinking was, look at that sweet, sweet relief. Oh, sweep me up with a street sweeper, baby. I'm out. Okay. Like, yeah. I would love that.
Absolutely. And that guy spent every night for the last 50 years trying to start a fire, you know?
Yes.
Like, yeah, that's his one goal. All the rest is just like, if I can, he probably thinks if I can set this fire, the gods will release me from whatever sweet hell that I am in. It's like a Sisyphean? Sisyphus.
You are asking the wrong lady over here.
You know, the guy, the rolling the boulder up the hill. Yeah. Sisyphean. Oh, that's not a... That's not a good word. You all know what I mean. Yeah. That Greek mythology, the guy rolling the ball. But it's that for them. Every night, they've got to try and accomplish the single task, and it's got to be pure hell.
Yeah, no, there's no part of me that could like that. And you're being locked up. Like, you're basically in a zoo that you're only aware of.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like eternal hell to me. Just because I saw this note, and I'm going to just say one more thing about the instructions, because I know we disagree.
Yeah.
I know we disagree, okay? But I will say the difference in my opinion between, like, getting a manual at work and what he was given, okay? First of all, if anybody hands me instructions that looks like an old-timey map, I'm probably going to read them.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'll We've give got you that. Edges. Like, This is interesting information for sure, in some capacity.
And you're right, handwritten does distinguish a little bit.
And one more note that I really want to make, okay, and this is my biggest point, is that some of this shit is really in red. And if you see something, any kind of instructions, okay, if I'm reading the instructions, I just bought new Bluetooth fucking headphones, okay?
Right.
If I see something written in red, I read it, okay? I don't read the instructions for shit, and I read everything in red.
Yeah, okay. You're like, warning, do not swallow. You're like, okay, I wasn't going to, but now I know. No,
the
can't.
Lions will eat you is in red, and you need to know that.
Yeah.
that's a need to know situation. Okay.
Yeah, the insanity that some of these things could flat out murder you is nuts.
Yes. It's nuts.
And I will agree with Larry on this. I know we say he's a terrible dad and he's bad at his job, but he says this job is not worth $11.50 an hour.
Oh, well, that is true.
That is true.
Yeah,
that
factual.
Is you are being massively underpaid.
To be fair, the director doesn't know that.
Yeah. $11.50. An hour and paying Manhattan rents because his wife won't let him move to Queens. Or I guess he's from Brooklyn. I guess that's, but anyway.
I think her argument was more fully, just if we say she's even like a villain in the sense that she's pushing back on him or whatever, like.
Which I don't think she
is. No, I don't think she is. And the one note she keeps hitting and she's absolutely accurate on is stability.
Yes.
This kid needs to, and she even says, she's like, listen, like, just like if you need like some time to figure it out, like we'll just keep him here for a bit. You can come visit or whatever, but like just figure your shit out and we can pick this up where we left off again. But you got to figure your shit out.
Yep.
And these are all very
reasonable,
very reasonable and fair requests. They also have like, it seems like they have a good rapport together. Like they, you know what I mean? They give each other a little kiss when they show up. Like things are okay. Like there's not like, it's not like a rocky road here.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing okay.
She's a really nice mom.
She is. She
this
is.
Kid's got some good shit going on.
He does,
aside
and he
from
needs
his
the stability.
Shitty dad.
Yes. There, I understand why she divorced him.
Yes.
Yes.
And one more note that I would just really like to make for the director, like the Dr. McPhee there.
Yes.
Which, what a silly name. Anyway, Dr. McPhee, he does something that like no bosses do, and I love it, and it's such a like, how could you even view this man as a villain from this point on?
Okay.
Like, and it's at the very end of the movie. So he firmly fires Larry.
Because the museum is destroyed.
It's destroyed. Okay. It's absolutely fucking wrecked. Okay. Like we've had a bunch of, it's a real cat in the hat situation with no cat.
Right.
Okay. Like nobody's cleaning this shit up. There's no fast whatever. There's no magic to this. We barely got any of this back. Okay. So then it gets covered on the news that like all this crazy shit was had, like there's T-Rex tracks leading up to the museum and there was like cavemen on the roof going nuts and they had all this footage and they thought it was this big marketing campaign.
Yes.
For the museum.
Yes.
So immediately after firing Larry, he goes back out, sees the museum full.
Okay.
Realizes that this marketing in his mind, what is a marketing campaign by this man, has worked, and I'm willing to give you your job back.
Oh, and you
disagree. I can tell.
I really
can see.
Hate that.
Oh, I love it. I love it because the amount of times, like, I just love when something to this man's view. Okay. To this man's view, nothing's come alive. Nothing dangerous has happened here. Okay. This guy brought in a couple people. He had an idea. He went for it.
Okay. I see what you're saying. You're saying that we reward that he went for it.
That he went beyond, showed his initiative and went beyond his job description. You must reward. Because he literally just fired this man. And he comes back out and just very, it doesn't make a big thing about it, just very silently gives him back the fucking, why can't I think of the word,
job.
The flashlight. Like, he just gives him back the flashlight, right. And that's kind of it. Like, it's like, you got your job back, you did it. Because, like, literally this place is going to close. Like, they're like, we can barely keep the doors open. He solved such a big problem for you. Try to argue me, Craig.
Okay, one, I know they're like, the museum, no one visits the museum anymore. There is no way in hell that the American Museum of Natural History is going to close.
No. It's
a fucking institution. The second thing is, there is scope that's involved with going above and beyond. His job, the one that he was hired for, is to be the night watchman and make sure that nobody steals shit or fucks up the displays. And he's fucked that up 3 nights in a row. The idea that you were like, when you go above and beyond in a way that absolutely violates what your original job was supposed to be, you're not even in the same department. You know what I mean? Like, now you're in promotions? No, you're the security guard.
It's the man who thinks outside the box.
No, by trashing the place.
No.
By trashing
Villain
the
was
place.
Right. The boss was right to give him a job back.
Damn it.
I'm telling you,
damn
man.
It, you're right. That's the name of the podcast.
It is.
I have
it
to
is.
Agree with you.
I'm just
no, I was so no. I was so mad at that. Yeah. I was so
oh,
mad.
You hated it. I loved it.
I was
you
like,
hated it.
Yeah, you trashed the place. You
no,
did the
I love
one
it.
Thing you weren't supposed to do. Like, if he had kept the museum in one piece and said, I've got an idea how to get more visitors in. Yeah, reward that.
They opened that day. It couldn't have been that trashed. They got it cleaned up.
It was,
up.
Though. It was.
Yes, but through movie magic, we get this cleaned up in like an hour.
Fair.
Dude, like, that shit was ready to go. You clean up for 1 hour, but you're like, you look like a genius to everyone above you.
But also, like, presumably the 3 guys got arrested, right? Like, you would not open the next day because the cops would be there being like, there was a massive theft at the museum last night.
No, I thought everything went back.
Everything did go back.
Yeah.
But like, what happened to those 3 guys?
They're fine. They're out. They're bopping around.
That's it?
I think so.
There was not. Oh, man. Because that would have been the out that lets you keep the job. You go, these 3 guys
like,
tried
to
break
remember
into
if there's
the
some
museum.
Sort of take of just them, whatever. But I just think they're like.
They get. Well, Dick Van Dyke gets brought back to the museum by the. The Attila the Hun. by the way, he—I don't know if you caught this. At a certain point, he's reading up, he's doing research, and the title of the book is "The Complete Idiot's Guide to Attila the Hun." And I think that is just absolutely the funniest title. So yeah, I don't know. We never follow up on them, do we? What happens
I'm
to them?
I'm actually like, did I have a stroke? Like, was there a scene that we missed?
There
or?
Is a chance that they got imprisoned in the museum for all eternity.
Well, that'd be great. They'd be super strong.
Yeah. Super strong, super young. Yeah, I don't know. That's a, man, it's kind of a fun movie.
It is. Yeah, it's fun. It's fine. It's like, yeah, I mean, it's a kid's romp, right? There's a lot of like silliness. There's like, I love that scene where they're letting the air out of the guy's tire.
Yeah.
That's pretty, like, there's some really cute stuff in this movie.
Steve Coogan and Owen Wilson.
Yeah, there's some super cute scenes. Like, I like that they team up and when they're walking back and it's we made it. Like, they did some stuff pretty well.
Yeah, there's some fun stuff for sure. Anything else you want to share?
We got it.
Time for our definitive ranking of how good the villains are. I'm going to go first. I've got the, Teddy Roosevelt. Theodore Roosevelt, big character in this movie. So I did the Teddy Roosevelt scale.
Nice.
Everybody. So on a scale of overcoming childhood asthma through sheer force of will, all the way to finishing his speech after being shot in the chest.
Whoa, yeah.
All real things that he did. I'm going to give Dr. McPhee, the Ricky Gervais character, creation of national parks. Because all he wants is for you to leave these things the fuck alone. Is that
that's
so
funny.
Much to
yeah,
ask?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's good. It's a good one. I've got my scale is the answers to the question, I'm made of wax, Larry, what are you made of? From mostly water to I'm actually three dads stacked on top of each other. Or sorry, three bad dads stacked on top of each other. I am going to give our three elderly men I'm actually just a human collection of band t-shirts because maybe, guys, it might be time to grow up.
I love it. That's great. Wonderful. And guys, we will get to our heroes and villains of the week in a second. But first, a couple ways that you can support the podcast. So first of all, if you want to get in touch with us, we're super easy to get in touch with. We're on all the socials, baby. We are on Twitter at VWR Podcast, on Facebook at Villain Was Right. And you can check us out in your email, your inbox. You can hit the draft new message thing and send us a message. I got lost on the way here, but I got there. you can get in touch with us at villainwasright@gmail.com for audience suggestions. If you have a movie that you think we might want to check out or would be good for this, we do take suggestions and we try and get around to them when we can. And if you have a couple bucks to
As always, we're on Patreon. You can hit us up on patreon.com/thevillainwasright. Guys, we've got bonus episodes. We've got audience choice. It's definitely going to be Goofy movie, right?
It's getting there, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, guys, we've got some real heated debates on movies. We've got some... You guys, you got to be a part of this community. It's so fun. People sending us in comments. It's great. Guys, if you want some extra content, we've got a huge backlog of bonus episodes. We get loose. We get fun. And guys, just thank you for... If you're already on Patreon with us, thank you so much for that. And if you're just listening to this, that's awesome too. Thank you so much for being a regular listener. And guys, now it is time for our heroes and villains of the week. I've got a hero. Nice. And it's just such a small story, but it just so much reminded me of Bag of Knives. It just reminded me so hard. I was like, this has the exact same energy as Bag of Knives.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm obligated to talk about this. Okay, we have to. So my brother, I ended up doing a show in my hometown like a week and a half ago. In Lindsay, Ontario. And my brother was like, my brother's been working in Toronto. He's like, why don't I come pick you up? You can come hang out for a bit before the show and then we'll go together. And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. Right. So he comes over to my place and we're just like, we're having a coffee. We're having a chit chat first before we're going to hit the road, eating some food stuff, whatever. Right. My brother stands up and we're about to go and he's talking. And then all of a sudden he pulls a knife out of his pocket. But not like a steak knife, like a full ass steak knife from his front pocket, okay, of his jeans. Okay.
What?
Yes, I swear to God. Okay, so he pulls out a full steak knife from the front pocket of his jeans, and I'm like, I'm sorry. Did you just pull that? I have to ask, right? I'm like, did you just pull that out of your pocket? He goes, oh yeah. And I was like, what? why do you have a knife in your pocket? He goes, oh, last night I had to open the bag of dog food, so I just ripped it open with this knife and I guess I just put it back in my pocket. And I'm like, okay, so that happened last night. You woke up this morning, put those jeans back on with a knife in the pocket, drove to work, had an entire work day, drove to my house, and then realized you had a knife in your pocket the whole time. And then he goes, and then my boyfriend goes, man, you should probably just buy a pocket knife. And my brother's response to that was, every knife is a pocket knife.
No, it's not.
I was screaming. I was like, man, that's got a real Bag of Knives energy.
That is absolutely not the case. not every knife is a pocket.
No, of course it's not.
Most knives
no,
are...
And no
are,
knives.
Are strictly a no, not...
That's why they have its own category.
Yes.
It flips into itself. Anyway, he drove the whole way to Lindsay with it in his pocket still. He put it right back in his pocket.
I can't imagine. That would be all I would think about all day is like, I'm going to sit down and stab myself in the leg. Every time I would think that.
This man went... Like,
also,
basically,
that's terrible for your pants.
Basically, like 24 hours with a knife in his pocket. Like, just like a steak knife in his pocket. Anyways, I laughed so hard and it really reminded me of Bag of Knives, so I thought I had to talk about it for sure. Anyway, my brother is a hero because my God.
I love that so much. Oh my God. Fantastic. Yeah, so I have a, I have a villain of the week, as we normally do. Probably should get more heroes in here, anyway. Just a little story. So it was Kat and I's anniversary not too long ago, and we decided, you know what we're going to do? We are going to, we haven't, you know, been able to do literally anything for like 2 years, so we're like, let's treat ourselves, and we went down for the night to Niagara on the Lake.
Oh my God, I'm so glad you didn't say murder, suicide.
No, a little bit of callback.
Yeah, we're just going to like treat ourselves.
Yeah, a little murder, suicide. No.
Sorry.
Niagara on the Lake. So yes. We went and we got like a room in a fancy hotel with like a nice like dinner package and all the rest. And it's just like, it's one of those places where you're like, it's very fancy and it makes me slightly uncomfortable.
Oh yeah. You know I feel I mean? You. I feel you.
And
yes.
So like we pull up and it's like valet parking. And I'm just like, I was like, well, this makes me feel uneasy, but this is what we got to do. And like I'm pulling up in my 2013 Hyundai Elantra, fine car, but as you know, Rebecca, it is parked under trees now these days.
Oh, yeah.
And it is absolutely caked.
Yeah, it's caked
in bird shit. Absolutely caked. So I pull up to the valet and I'm like, oh, this again. And like Kat makes some joke about like, you know, saying to the valet, like, oh, you know, tell him that you counted the change in the thing.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, yo, that's actually, that's so funny.
That's really funny. So I would never say that to
him. No, but that's really funny to suggest.
But I was also going to be like, oh, well, actually, sir, I've counted all the bird shit stains on the windshield and I'll know if any go missing. Like, that's what the version I was going to do.
That's great.
Anyway, so then we go in. And it's like, we're checking into the hotel and it's very nice and everything. And then like the valet guys are like coming in the back door. Right. And I just overhear them talking. It's like, yeah, man, like somebody just pulled like a Lamborghini out front. And so the valets are like, yeah, I got to drive a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
And then the guy's like, oh, that's great. I just got to drive a Saturn. Just like, oh, I'm the guy they're not excited about. But yeah, so like, you know, we got all dressed up for dinner and it was nice. And like, you know, the kind of dressed up where I'm constantly worried about someone being like, oh, that's not what fancy people wear. That's what people who are pretending to be fancy yes. wear. And I honestly would have felt so much more relieved if someone was like, you're just pretending to be fancy. And I'd be like, yes, absolutely. That is exactly what we are doing. Please just say it so I can get on with the rest of my night. But anyway, that's all just like, it was really nice. We sit down. It's a great meal. And of course, I'm eavesdropping because that's what I do in, you know, people watching in public. So like, you know, when Kat's going to the bathroom and whatnot. So there's this table not too far from us, guy and a girl, this nice couple. And I'm kind of just listening to them and they're talking to the sommelier, right? Who's like recommending wines. Cause if you're not aware, Niagara on the Lake is like wine country in Ontario. Like it's kind of their thing. So they're talking about wines and stuff. And I was like, oh, this girl knows how to talk about wine. I do not. Right. And they pick their bottle and he comes back. And then a few minutes later, she calls a sommelier back over and is like, actually, this isn't quite what I wanted. Like, I don't think this will go well with fish and whatnot. And I'm just like, oh, are you sending this back? Are you sending this back? And I was like, no, don't do like, oh, this makes me so uncomfortable. And, you know, and the sommelier goes like, okay, well, we'll try something else and we'll bring it to you. And then the boyfriend goes like, and you know, we're going to get both bottles. Like, you know, we'll pay for both. It's like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, okay. And then he turns to her and he goes, no, you know what? Good for you. Standing up for what you want. You know what you want and you should get it. That's good. And I was like, oh, you're right. I judged a little bit there. You know, I judged a little too harshly.
Yeah.
Yeah. She should stand up for what she wants and she should get what she needs. And I was like, okay,
That's I feel a me. Turn coming.
That's on me. Yeah. So then like night's the going on. And like, Kat and I are like a little deep into it. We're into like dessert and stuff now. And then Kat goes to the bathroom once again. So I'm just like sitting there by myself and I'm just like listening. And she's talking about how she's going to open this space in Toronto. And she's just going to like open this space. And it's going to be like this like community thing. And like that artists can just come and like display their work. And she goes, and you know, like artists will just do that for free. Because they just want to do it. And I'm just like, no, pay your artists.
Oh,
pay
screaming.
Your artists. Like I wanted
no.
to scream it across the room. So yeah. I was right about her. I was right about her. She is the villain. Pay your artists,
yeah,
everybody.
That's fucking crazy to say out loud. That's crazy. You know, they'll just do it for free.
Yeah.
Jesus.
They'll just do it for free. I'm like, so you're opening a place and you're just going to make money off of it somehow and not pay her? Anyway. Insane. That's my villain of the
week. That's so funny.
It's just kind of fun. Just a fun weekend away, really.
Yeah,
is what
that's
it was.
Nice. Yep. That's very nice. And congratulations on an anniversary.
Oh, thank you very much.
Brilliant. Well, guys, as always, if you want to follow me, you can follow me at Rebecca Reeds, RebeccaReeds on any platform of your choosing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can follow me at Craig Faye Comedy on Facebook, Twitter, also CraigFaye.com if you want to sign up for my newsletter to hear about upcoming shows. And speaking of upcoming shows, next week, as this comes out, I will be at Absolute Comedy in Ottawa. MCing, I will be there May 17th through the 22nd. So go ahead and check that out if you're around. And that does it for us this week on The Villain Was Right. Next week, it's audience choice. Unless something really massive changes in the next little bit. Technically, this poll is still open, but it is absolutely a landslide for a Goofy movie.
Yeah!
We had a patron comment on it, a Goofy movie or we riot.
I would love to see what a riot would look like, but I
exactly.
You know.
So it's like, so unless a lot of you have signed up in the next day or two, and voted this down, it's going to be a Goofy movie next week. Really looking forward to that. And until then, this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you not to touch the exhibits.
The Villain Was Right is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.